Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, KGMZ San Francisco, Radio.com sports station. Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Welcome, welcome. It is good to have you here. Ray Ratto and Matt Kolsky along with yours truly today. Two game sevens in the NHL. The Sharks play the next one against the Knights. We've got Maple Leafs and Bruins playing a game seven right now. Game five between the Warriors and Clippers happens tomorrow. The show's going over to Oracle Arena. And our best version of Round Ball Rock here for the Teshoff Part 2 will be joining us with a pair of tickets to go see the Warriors tomorrow night. I saw this 5 years ago today. Clippers employees received a call from TMZ. TMZ wanted comment about a tape that Donald Sterling apparently was just caught on, and that was 5 years ago today.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, that happened to you, Donnie. We were there. Man, time flies, does it not? It feels like that was just a minute ago. That was 5 years ago already, where Donald Sterling said all sorts of buzzwords that you're not allowed to say and was caught and was stripped of his team, even though the way that he was taped might have been nefarious and unfair to him. I don't mind some unfair things happening to awful people, and he falls under the category of awful people 5 years ago today.
I mean, come on.
He was a revolting criminal. And it's to the NBA shame that they allowed him to own that team for as long as they did. I mean, the only reason why he got run out by the owners is because they thought he would cost them money. It wasn't because they found his speech hateful or because they thought his behavior.
Right. They knew about this.
They knew about all of it. But they waited until it got released on a tape, and all of a sudden it became, you know, they got rid of him in 2 days. That's how outraged they were by the optic of it. That's the thing that about the Sterling thing that bothers me. Not that he didn't have it coming, but that it happened so long, that it took so long for them to even bother to care.
I think it's an incredible comment on the NBA's PR machine that the Donald Sterling incident is looked at in the light it's looked at as sort of the first great act of Adam Silver, as opposed to what it is, which is a travesty that he remained in the league any time after sometime in the mid-70s. I mean, this guy was a despicable racist and also a criminal in housing development situations.
He was an aggressive slumlord.
He's a horrible person.
David Stern could have put the bullet in him years ago. He chose not to. It's a little bit of an indictment on Stern and the way that he saw the league.
Yeah, but it's the owners.
No, it's the owners. Stern's not doing anything the other owners don't let him do. What happened in the Sterling case was that as soon as local advertisers started basically canceling their contracts with the Clippers, three owners called Adam Silver and they said, "You're going to announce this, but we're getting rid of him. So strap in. This is the next 2 days of your life." And they basically got the other owners together in a series of not conference calls, but individual calls. And they basically went to Sterling and said, "You're done."
Well, it absolutely bought Adam Silver an awful lot of goodwill, and he got to be the, you know, appear, if not in actual truth, he certainly represented, you know, the concept of being a woke commissioner. And needless to say, every other sport is sort of playing catch up to that moment behind what Adam Silver just had dropped in his lap.
Yeah, and it was tactically brilliant because the other three sports had commissioners who were profoundly unpopular. And the fact is, this was an easy one for the NBA owners because they said, as soon as we lose a national contract because of this idiot, that's money out of all our pockets. This was a cynical decision that they framed in such a way that they all came out smelling well.
888-957-9570. Every single line we have is lit with a Teshoff contestant. We've got about 10 minutes before we start our 5 o'clock Teshoff for our final two pair of tickets to the Warriors-Clippers Game 5 tomorrow night. By the way, Game 4's last night, the one that sort of needed to go the Warriors' way, did in terms of how much energy are they spending to reach the second round. The Jazz beat the Houston Rockets last night to force a Game 5. The Bucks ended up closing out the Pistons, but Utah just did the Warriors a solid. No extra rest for the Houston Rockets before they take on the Warriors, and that matters. It's not definitive, but it matters. And, you know, Kolsky, I got to tell you, we got into an argument, I think, in this hour yesterday with you. Maybe you're right. Maybe Harden's fragile. Maybe Houston's more fragile than I expected. A 12-point fourth quarter was unbecoming, to say the least. I thought that they were eaten up by Rudy Gobert at times. Clint Capella got eaten up by Gobert. But they're still a good team. Unlikable, yes, but they're good. They've won 173 games over the last three NBA seasons. They've got an MVP. They've got two Hall of Famers. And I believe that they remain the biggest threat to the Warriors' throne until they're eliminated. But last night, Warriors just got a little break, and Utah usually doesn't do anything nice for the Golden State Warriors. They did last night.
I don't think the Rockets aren't good. I think the Rockets are, I would agree with you, at least in terms of the Western Conference. I still think Milwaukee, if fully healthy, that's the one team where I look at the guy who that team is built around and say, nobody's got an answer for him. And yeah, the Warriors still have two guys like that, arguably, but Milwaukee has played the Warriors well for 3 or 4 years, so that's where I'd put the biggest threat. But Western Conference, it's not that I don't think the Rockets are good. It's not that I don't think they're a bigger threat than the Blazers or the Spurs or the Nuggets. It's that I still think, all things being equal, everyone playing to about their potential, the Warriors are not a little, but a lot better. That's what I think.
They're just better enough four times. I mean, because I think there are things that Houston can do that Golden State has no answer for. And almost no other team has that. And while the Warriors have been very good at usually dealing with one weapon that there's no answer for, you know, the series with Cleveland, the four series with Cleveland, I think Houston can do two things. They can have one of their guys go completely off in Harden, and they can own the low block in ways that the Warriors cannot answer in any way, shape, or form.
You think they can own the low block offensively?
Both ways.
Who's going into the post for them?
Because they lost. Well,
besides their guards.
Yeah. Well, all of it. They can all they all attack the basket, and I don't think anybody is going to keep Capella corralled without getting into foul trouble, and the six fouls from Cousins that they lose are pretty significant.
I do think the Bogut, what Bogut looks like physically against Capella, is going to make a big difference, because DeMarcus could not keep up great with Capella physically, but he could punish him on the other end.
Yeah,
somewhat.
He could spend fouls.
Can I
right.
Can I light a candle here for Jordan Bell?
He's athletic, but
he's six fouls. I think they're going to use
true.
Him as
You're
six
right.
fouls
six
in
fouls.
This Houston series.
And Looney's really good. I think maybe
closeout games are always difficult.
That's true.
That is true. Continue though, Matt.
I think maybe Kevon Looney has gone ahead and got underrated again. He just, every time he's called to action, he manages the job capably.
No, but how many minutes can you play him before his weaknesses start to show? That's the problem.
I think you could hope. I think you'll hope for 25 minutes out of Kevon Looney, and then another 15 to 20 out of Bogut.
He switches on to Harden about as good as anybody.
That's
he
right.
Really
and,
does.
And then I think the last eight are Draymond and Iguodala in the front court. So you know that.
But you don't want Green spending fouls. You're going to need all those fouls. You're going to need 18 fouls on
you're
those
right.
two guys.
You're right.
Period.
As we were saying. As Steve Kerr was saying, because I had an itchy trigger finger, closeout games are tough, kids.
Closeout games are always difficult. You know, I think both teams at this point have a really good feel for one another, strategically what each one is trying to do. I think the Clippers are going to come out flying around. They got nothing to lose. But I thought they were really good defensively last game. They put a lot of pressure on us. And they'll come out with a freedom shooting the ball and an aggression that we got to be ready for it.
And they're rested. They're ready to go. Steve said it was good to have a little time off.
Oh, man, what a beautiful day yesterday. Everybody had the day off. Coaches came in and watched the tape and talked about our strategic adjustments. But everybody had time to get outside and go enjoy the weather and get a little break. So it's an important aspect of the playoffs. Occasional day off and, you know, fill up your cup and get refocused the following day.
The cup filleth, and certainly Clay Thompson's cup filleth and runneth over with water from the Pacific Ocean.
I think the ocean is probably the best way to clear your mind. And being a Southern California kid, you know, growing up on the beach and spending a lot of time in the ocean, that made perfect sense. I know people joked about it and laughed about it because it's Clay, but it made perfect sense to me.
Oh, yeah. This Bay Area weather, when it's like this, it's amazing. You know, we'd earn this after a long, rainy winter.
I love that.
We earn this.
You'd have to be from L.A. to think that the, quote, long, rainy Bay Area, double, quote, winter
right,
earns you beautiful summer. Come on, bro.
We've been walking around in snowmobile suits.
Exactly.
Cross-country skiing to the 7-Eleven to pick up some warm something.
People in the Midwest have been wearing long underwear for 6 months.
Well, probably closer to 6 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, he orbits a different planet. You just have to go.
I would love
he's
to
not
live on
from
that
here. Of all the athletes that you've had to cover, can you find one as mellow as Clay Thompson in your mental Rolodex as quickly as that? I mean, because he to me is the epitome of mellow athlete.
Phil Francis.
Really?
Incredibly mellow. And he was a fullback in the National Football
League. I was about to say, can I be completely honest with you? I don't even know who Phil Francis is.
Played at Stanford, played for the 49ers for a while.
Right. I have no knowledge, but when you said that, Sam Perkins appeared in my brain.
Oh, big smooth.
Yeah. Calm guy.
Somebody here on the text line says, does anybody remember the death lineup? Oh, yeah, we remember it. The league remembers it. And believe me, Steve Kerr remembers it. But we're probably not going to see it in this game, only because they're going to keep Iguodala on Lou Williams. And unless, you know, you start the death lineup, you can't have Iguodala out there. So he's waiting for Lou Williams to come off the bench. You're not going to see him. Did see this, though, from Shane Young. Your starting five, as it is right now, the Curry, Clay, KD, Dre, and Bogut lineup, they've got a 95.5 defensive ratings and 30 minutes on the court together so far in this series. That is Hampton's five death lineup type of defensive efficiency. And, Ray, I mean, look, we've been talking about it. This is a defense-first basketball team. Don't let all these threes and the beautiful shooting fool you. When the Warriors are at their best, they're playing defense. Well,
yes.
95.5 defensive rating for Curry, Clay, KD, Bogut, and Dre, not bad.
No, excellent. And they're doing it in the conference has been scoring more points. The Eastern Conference, the offense has been incredibly depressed. In part because Boston and Indiana chose not to score at all. But, no, the Warriors have done what they keep saying they do, will be ready when it matters, and they've been ready except for 19 minutes when they said, you know what, it's February, we're playing Charlotte, we don't give a damn.
We have our eyes on the, you know, other teams playing, and we see Houston being up 3-0, chance to close it out. We didn't want to extend this series any longer because we know how grueling the playoffs can be. We already let one slip away, so tonight we came in with that mindset to, you know, put our, you know, foot on the throttle and not let go, because we let go in game two, and we won't do that again the rest of the playoffs. I really believe that.
I really want to believe you, too. I think you got an opponent that's going to have your full focus waiting for you next round in the Houston Rockets. Just take care of business. Tomorrow is a business trip for the Golden State Warriors, and they don't have to leave Oakland to go on it.
I do believe him. I believe him, and that I thought about that after Game 3. Because whoever was doing the game made the joke when they got up 31 in Game 3, like, uh-oh, here we go.
Clippers got him right where they
want
him.
Yeah, exactly. And my first thought hearing those jokes, which, whatever, it's fine, was, you know, I actually think that Game 2 loss is perfect. The perfect time, the perfect that it happened at home, perfect that it wasn't just a blown lead that they finished a win anyway. It was an actual loss. The whole circumstance, in a lot of ways, I think was the best possible thing to happen to ensure that the Warriors do not lose focus. And I'm not sure a better message than here's a Clippers team that's the 8th seed that does not have an NBA superstar on its roster that you handled in game one without even playing that well, that you went up 31 on. This is how bad it can get if you stop pulling the rope in the right direction. It can get really bad really fast. And I think that message, hopefully anyway, but I would trust Clay on that message was really driven home by the biggest playoff collapse ever.
No, they will do this one more time, minimum.
Right. Well, we'll see.
Guaranteed.
Maybe.
They may not lose the game, but they will take a big lead and pack it in and end up winning by four.
But that's a run. Like, everyone's allowed to make a run in the league. If you didn't lose a game...
Well, the question is, do they pack it in? That's the question. Does the run happen because it's the NBA and runs happen, or does the run happen because the Warriors stop?
I think Warriors often stop creating runs, because if you're up 30, just for the hypothetical here, and the other team cuts it down to four, that's not just a run. That's you as the superior team going, ah, we're done. I mean, unless the other team
makes every shot.
Yeah. And I don't know that there's any team, with the possible exception of the Rockets, who could shoot that well for that long.
I got a guy here who says, hey, can we get some sharks on this radio station? It's game seven.
That's right.
Game seven.
That's right.
Two most beautiful words in sports. That's what they say. And we got a game seven right now. Boston leading Toronto 2-1. That game's in the second period. We've got game seven happening tonight down in San Jose. Really much looking forward to that. We began the show talking Sharks hockey. You got to listen to the show at 3. Turn it around on you.
Lock it in.
You got to listen earlier. And we're going to get back to the Sharks, I promise you. But I've got a pair of tickets to actually give away to go see the Warriors playoff game tomorrow night as they try to close out the Clippers in Game 5. And we're having a little something called a Tesh-off. For those of you who don't know, John Tesh, who used to be a host on Entertainment Tonight. Yes. That John Tesh. John Tesh, I don't know if he wrote that theme, but he is quite a musician, and he wrote Round Ball Rock, which is the greatest sports anthem any network ever had. It used to intro all the NBA games on NBC. One of the great anthems of all time, which he needed to leave himself an a cappella version of when he thought of it for the very first time on something that kids used to be known as an answering machine.
Hi, this is a message for me about the NBA theme. Here's an idea. It goes like this.
So there you go. There's John Tesh leaving himself the idea that became what we all know is...
There's something beautifully overconfident about leaving yourself a message that says, hey, it's me.
Hey, it's me. Like, you wouldn't recognize that. You'd be thinking, yeah, who's this from? My mom always goes, yeah, you know, I answer the phone. Hi, Mom. She'll say, it's your mother. I'm like, I just said, hi, Mom. Thank you. But anyway, it's time now, and we have our five contestants. Jeff, Ramen, Anthony, Steven, and Daniel. We have our five guests, all five. I'm going to ask you for about 15 seconds of the a cappella version, the best, as voted on by Matt Kolsky, because Ray Ratto just took his headphones off.
Again.
This did not go well at 3:30. Let's hear how it goes now. Ray?
No. It did not go well at 3:30. That's why I'm doing the one thing that any sane person should do at this point.
Let me tell you how proud I am of our 5 o'clock audience. This is going to be great. Jeff, that's the NHL Tonight on ESPN. That's the wrong button. Jeff is in Vacaville. Jeff, welcome. You are our first contestant for the Tesh-off. Your a cappella version of Round Ball Rock, please. Go.
All right. A one and a two and a... Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da
Wow, you got a lot of well-placed duts in that,
that
Jeff.
That really was did. Very different from our 3 o'clock hour. The bar is set high by Jeff.
Jeff, had you called into the 3 o'clock hour, you would have won. That would have carried the 3:30 audience. I'm going to put you on hold, Jeff. Stay tuned. We're going to go to contestant number two, Ramen. Ramen, what do you got for us? Give it to me. Sounds like you just hung up. Did he just quit? Ramen, are you still there? That sounds like defeat. This is Anthony in Concord.
Couldn't beat Jeff.
Anthony, you are our second contestant. What do you got for us? Go. Anthony, I'm going to put you on hold.
We're competing harder this hour.
That might have won in 3:32. I'm not going to lie. I don't know if it's going to win now, but it wasn't the worst I've heard today. This is Steven in Oakland. Steven.
Ooh. Hey, how you doing? All right, here I go.
Steven,
pretty good.
Enthusiasm was where it exactly where it needed to be. That was a strong presentation, no doubt about it. Our final contestant, Daniel in San Francisco. Daniel, let's hear your offering.
All right. Can you guys hear me good?
I can hear you. It's your turn in the Tesh off.
All right. Here we go.
Daniel, the only thing I can say about your submission is that you have submitted it. Thank you very much. We do appreciate that.
You know where Daniel had everybody is he counted himself in? He
went
with
a
3-4. I appreciated that aspect, the professionalism.
2-3-4.
Right, exactly. He hit it on the mark. The timing was good. I also enjoyed Steven giving us the in-between the lines. I like that. But I think it was number one. It was Jeff who got the win for me.
Then there it is. Ray, do you feel good about Jeff in Vacaville winning these tickets, the pair of tickets?
Absolutely. Who's Jeff?
There you go. Jeff in Vacaville, you are the winner. It paid close attention to by the host. Matt Kolsky was all over the breakdown of why you're the winner. And Ray has read your name on the screen. I don't think he heard your call at all, Jeff. But congratulations to you.
Oy, oy, oy.
There you go. I'm glad that an old school guy got it. No doubt about it, Jeff. I am going to put you on hold, Jeff. Albie is going to get your information, and magic things are going to happen. Those tickets are going to be waiting for you at will call. I got a lot of people who are saying, Damon, that was way too easy. I should have been the winner. I'm much better than that. You had a chance to call in.
Yeah.
You didn't. You didn't do it.
347. You're telling me it was that easy to win tickets? Yes.
Yes. There's nothing on this show that is ever going to be that hard. That is the goal of the entire premise of this show.
Yeah, we're just giving them away. We don't need you to prove anything, really. They're for you.
After, Albie, you do get Jeff's information, I need you to blow everybody off the line because we need to set up our Tuesday trifecta. Is everybody ready? It's draft week after all. It's time for a little Tuesday trifecta here on 95.7 The Game. Ask for it by name. Accept no substitutes. Today, our topic is, it's a little drafty in here. Question number one. What is the greatest draft pick in the Bay not named Steph Curry? Greatest draft pick in the Bay not named Steph Curry. Number two. Who do you want the pick to be? This is about your NFL team. Who's your team? Where are you picking? Who do you want the pick to be? And number three, since it is so beautiful outside, as the Golden State Warriors clearly illustrated to all of us, I mean, come on, it is gorgeous out there. We know that. You know that. Klay Thompson knows that.
Oh, yeah. This Bay Area weather, when it's like this, it's amazing. You know, we earned this after a long, rainy winter.
And do you have an Earth Day message for us, Klay?
Since it being Earth Day yesterday, I hope more people now get out, especially younger generation. We, including myself, have a tough time with technological devices and addiction. So I hope that spurs some kids to get outside and enjoy the fruits of nature.
Enjoy the fruits of nature.
Does it sound like Klay found out about Earth Day for the first time this year?
Yeah, it's like, what? Oh, that's a great idea.
Earth Day, that is a good idea. Let's get these kids off their phones.
So in order to get you off your phone and enjoy this beautiful weather, since our topic is it's a little drafty and we're having a draft, how could this be a trifecta where we didn't have a draft? Our draft topic today, we are drafting great Bay Area outdoor drinking spots. Great Bay Area outdoor drinking spots. Where's the best place to go outdoors, Bay Area, and have a cold one and enjoy yourself with a group of friends? Indoor bars, there's a million of them. I don't need any tips. Outdoor drinking spots, we need tips. It can be in the city, South Bay, East Bay. Bring it. Great outdoor drinking spots. But once a spot is off the board, it's gone and can't be picked again. Hence the concept of a draft. Look at people already calling in, ready to go. 888-957-9570. It's a little drafty in here. Question number one, what is the greatest draft pick in the Bay not named Steph Curry? Number two, who do you want your NFL team to draft? Who do you want the pick to be? And number three, give me your Bay Area outdoor drinking spot, and we're having a draft. The earlier you call in, the better pick you get, the more options you will have. We're doing all of it. It's the Tuesday trifecta. It's officially coming up next here on 95.7 The Game, and you can be a part of it with calling us at 888-957-9570. When someone drops, you can hop on their line, and we're doing all of that right after Elena gives us a really quick update and lets you know what's coming up here this afternoon. On 95.7 The Game, the trifecta is next.
And suddenly over the loudspeaker, I heard...
Trifecta.
Triple.
Trifecta.
With a triple.
Trifecta.
It's the Tuesday trifecta. One topic, three questions. Now, here's Damon Bruce.
Really good to have you with us today. While Ray watches playoff hockey for the duration of this segment, we've also got you in mind for the Tuesday trifecta. When you hear somebody drop, you can hop on their line at 888-957-9570. I am glad that Ray is watching what's going on in the NBA as well, though, because he just alerted me as to what is going on in Philadelphia. And what's going on is a thumping. The 76ers lead the Brooklyn Nets 30-9 with 90 seconds remaining in the first quarter. 30-9.
Truthfully, sounds a lot better than 20-0.
Yeah, which it was at one point, was it?
Yes.
It was. Yeah, that's not good. That's a bad way to start a game. Raptors are up on the Magic, as we all expected them to be. That is a Game 5. 76ers got a Game 5. We got Spurs Nuggets later tonight. Thunder's Trailblazers later tonight. Game 7 for the Sharks later tonight. Oh, yeah, baby.
That's right.
These are good times. So is the Tuesday trifecta, and let's get to it. We reach you in the order in which your calls arrived, and since we're having a draft for our third and final question today, your arrival time is important. Let's begin with Anthony in San Jose. Our topic, Anthony, is a little drafty in here. Are you ready?
Let's go it.
Who is the greatest, and by the way, I meant this as current, not all time or anyone. Joe Montana, Jerry Rice. Yeah, obviously. The greatest current active draft pick in the Bay Area, not named Steph Curry, is?
Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, hard to argue with that. What do you want the pick to be coming up on Thursday for your NFL team?
My NFL team is the Oakland Football Raiders. I'm going to have to go with, hopefully, praying, Quinnen Williams.
Outdoor drinking draft. Anthony, you have the number one overall pick of all the best places to go grab a beer outdoors in the Bay Area. Where are you going?
All right, so I have a question for you, Damon. So when we're talking outdoor drinking bars, are we talking places to watch sports, or are you talking place to get sloshed?
That's your choice.
The key word is outdoors.
Okay, well, if I'm going to go outdoors where I'm going to potentially watch the sports and then get sloshed, I'm going to go with El Jardin Bar in Santana Row.
Wow.
El Jardín Santana Row. I'm writing that down.
Smoke show women, tequila, and you might get a little bit of sports.
Okay. Anthony, we got a South Bay contender leading us off in the draft today.
Did not see that coming.
Thank you very much. There you go. We got Dame in Oakland next. Thank you very much, Dame, for calling in. Question number one for you. The greatest draft pick in the Bay actively right now, not named Steph Curry, is?
Klay Thompson.
Not bad.
Good choice.
What do you want your NFL team, who do you want your NFL team to draft on Thursday?
Well, my team is obviously them Oakland Raiders, and my boy took my pick with Quinnen Williams, so I'm gonna go with a backup quarterback in Kyler Murray.
Well, I don't think he'd be a backup for very long if you drafted him.
Oh, he'll be a backup. There, you got John Gruden.
The only thing where you have a draft here is the third question. So if you want Quinnen Williams, you can take him. Dame, your third question. Outdoor drinking draft. Anywhere but El Jardín Santana Row. Where are you going? Where are you sending me for my beer?
Well, I might have to give you an invite, brother, because I don't drink and drive, so I stay at home. My front yard.
Okay, Dame in Oakland. Dame, front yard. I hope you have reasonable prices in happy hour because you're going to be packed on Friday, man. Thank you very much, Dame. Dame's taking his own front yard in Oakland.
Yo, I'm here for the people whose favorite outdoor drinking establishment is on property that they live in. I'm here. I support that.
It's nice as long as we're welcome.
Exactly. Yeah. As long as we're all invited.
Tim San Jose. Tim, thank you very much for the call. Greatest draft pick active in the Bay Area, not named Steph Curry. Who is he?
Just by pure value alone, got to be Joe Pavelski, number 205th pick, 7th round, NHL draft.
Done scoring!
Good luck in Game 7 tonight.
Appreciate it.
Who do you want the draft pick to be for your NFL team?
As a Niners fan, a little contrarian, I want a pure pass rusher. I want to see Josh Allen in that red and gold.
Outdoor drinking draft, outside of Dame's front yard in El Jardín, it's all you.
Got to go Half Moon Bay Brewing Company. You're right by Mavericks. Outdoor, sun, beach. Good beer there. Beers are great. I don't know how you can go wrong.
Awesome suggestion. I've actually been there. I've been there. I've been to Half Moon Bay, and I've been up to Lagunitas, I believe.
Lagunitas is wonderful. They have a concert series up there that I would strongly recommend. Free shows. All you got to do is sign up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ray, will you be performing at the Lagunitas Outdoor Concert Series?
Yes. I'll be the one sleeping under the tree.
If you had to perform as a one-man show, what would be your one-man instrument?
Snoring.
I can imagine.
That's a good answer.
Grass skirt, ukulele.
You could imagine that, but you'd be high.
Well, par is the course. Ashley, calling from Napa. Thank you very much for the call, Ashley. Greatest draft pick in the Bay, not named Curry.
I also went with Klay Thompson on that one.
Who do you got your pick to be? Who do you want the pick to be on Thursday?
I'm going with the same pass rushing, Josh Allen.
Look at that. That's a lot of Kentucky for this program. I really mean it. Outdoor drinking draft, Ashley. Where are you sending me for the fourth overall pick?
Something kind of wild. I'm going to go Oracle Park on a beautiful day.
It's not bad.
Oracle Park. There you go. Nice day.
Oh, I have one more thing. One more thing.
Yes. Ashley, it could have been. It could have been. What
you can
might
have tickets
been
to Game 6 of Sixers Nets.
Please.
Thank you very much for the call, Ashley. Well,
by the
done
way, the Nets closed. It's now 32-15 at the end of the quarter.
Mm. Everybody makes a run. This is Steve in Concord. Steve next in line for a little Tuesday trifecta. Greatest draft pick in the Bay, not named Curry.
Let's go Klay Thompson.
Klay is good. That's three in a row we've had Klay. He is the people's choice, no doubt about it. Who do you want the pick to be on Thursday?
Let's go for my 49ers. We're going Nick Bosa.
Outdoor drinking draft, 5th overall pick. What do you got?
This is a tough one. Let's go Dr. Keith, the Electronic Mayhem in San Francisco.
Yeah, the Electric Mayhem. Big, solid choice.
Hang out on the roof.
They got a rooftop bar?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they do. Well, no, you go down to get the drinks, but you drink them on the roof.
Okay, but the place is called Dr. Teeth?
Yeah, like the Muppets.
No, like the band. That's awesome. Was it on Polk Street?
Ah, God.
It's on Mission.
Okay.
23 mission.
There you go. Steve, well done. Thank you very much. Steve bartending tonight. He knew the address. He's like, come on, don't forget to tip your bartenders.
Now, it's one of those fun, divey, kitschy type of spots, though, and you can drink on the roof.
Right. So what's the place used to...
I think it's just called Teeth, but it's based on Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
What was the place on Polk Street that used to be... Like, it was all like you were in a shaggin' wagon? There's a place on Polk Street, and the entire thing was like an indoor conversion wagon, and on all the TVs, they played softcore porn, or sometimes after midnight, it was hardcore porn.
I don't think I know that.
Cozy Car! Wow. Sorry, I've been married for 3 years. I forget things. But yeah, Cozy Car! Good times!
Yeah, your wife won't ask you about that when you get home.
Where do you think we met, Ray? This is Kevin.
Yeah, your wife won't ask you about that either. Hope your child's ready to be raised by a single parent.
Yeah, well, Kevin Alameda, thank you very much for the call, Kevin. Greatest draft pick in the Bay, active, not named Steph Curry.
Everyone takes defense for granted. It's got to be Draymond Green.
I mean, 32nd overall, what was he, 36? It was a nice...
Fifth.
The 35th. Well done. I'm glad you're listening now.
I've been listening the entire time. Don't question
Except enjoying for when the it? People were singing.
Are you enjoying Wait. It?
No, this is fine. It's only when people were singing that I took the time off. And I will be better for it than either of you.
Kevin, who do you want the pick to be on Thursday?
Raiders fan, I want Montrezl Sweat from Mississippi State.
Outdoor drinking draft. Where are you going happy hour on a nice day?
Shameless plug, man. I work at Virgin Hotel San Francisco. I'm on the rooftop bar, so I'll see you guys Thursday. That place is amazing.
Yeah. Dude, Kevin, come find me as soon as I walk. And you know what? Here's the deal. I'll make it even easier. Kevin, I'm going to come find you as soon as I walk in. Fair enough?
I'll be on the roof. Happy to serve you all night.
Boom.
Kevin, it doesn't matter to me whether you find me, but if you could have some free booze find me, I would very much appreciate that.
Endless supply. You got it, my man.
Boom. There you go.
Wow, did you guys whore yourselves out?
Free it's booze. Radio. What do you think we do here?
Free booze. Did you not hear the two key words?
No, I did. I just thought, even by radio standards, you were shameless.
By the way, since it sounds like you're eating, why don't you tell everyone what you're enjoying right now?
No.
Is that homemade at least?
Yes.
It is definitely homemade.
It looks like a nice little homemade ravioli.
Looks very delicious.
It does look delicious. He hasn't offered anyone a bite, by the way.
No, and
brought
you know
none
what?
To share.
Let me help you with that. Get over it.
Will, Rohnert Park, can you believe Ray's not generous sharing his food, Will?
No, I can't.
You don't know me at all.
A little drafty in here. Who is the greatest active draft pick not named Steph Curry?
Now, this is like, it can be baseball, football. It doesn't have to be
Yes, sir.
All right.
Correct.
Okay, I'll go Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah, well done. What do you want the pick to be on Thursday?
I'd say Quentin Williams, please, because I'm a diehard Oakland Raiders fan.
Outdoor drinking draft. Will, you got to send Ray Ratto one place for a beautiful day happy hour. Where are you sending him?
Up to Wine Country. It's called the Archer Hotel. There's a great rooftop bar.
Archer Hotel?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's in Napa.
Napa. Boom. All right.
I've heard of the place, never been.
I'm going to go ahead and make a mental note of that one. Thank you very much. Final call for today's Tuesday trifecta before we switch it back to what's happening tonight. We got two game sevens, so it's plenty of time to switch it back. This is Chris San Leandro, final call of the day for the Tuesday trifecta. Chris, greatest draft pick in the Bay, not named Curry.
It's got to be Buster Posey.
Who do you want the pick to be on Thursday?
The 49ers pick Quinnen Williams.
You have the final 8th overall pick of the outdoor drinking draft. Where are you going?
Let's go to Drake's dealership in Oakland.
Very good choice.
Drake's is solid, man. No doubt about it. No doubt. Well done. All the way around.
Can I squeeze in at the end?
Outstanding. No, well, this is where we come back. Absolutely. Matt Kolsky, outdoor drinking draft choice.
The outdoor drinking draft is an apocalypse. I'm embarrassed for us. None of the top like 8 outdoor places are on that list, with the possible exception of Drake's. But my choice, if I had to pick one, Wildside West in Bernal Heights, San Francisco.
Really?
One of the most delightful backyard hangs you can find. It's a tiny little dive bar. You walk out on the back patio and down these stairs, and all of a sudden you're in this beautiful, enchanted wonderland of a backyard garden where everyone has nice little
pods to sit and drink with their friends.
I don't go kicking in Bernal very often. I've never even heard of the place.
Wild Side West, tremendous. Zeitgeist, also excellent. El Rio, very strong. Missouri Lounge in Berkeley, a personal favorite of mine. I feel like we did poorly on the outdoor drinking draft. Also,
wait a minute. No.
It's not a weed.
Maybe
it's an
there's just a lot of places.
Sure.
Maybe this is a hugely alcoholic part of the nation.
But I've been to most of the places on the list, and I'm just saying I think can think of a lot of better ones. I also think.
Well, then maybe you should have called in.
I did. I'm right here giving you the answer. I'm a little disappointed nobody said Joe Staley.
I'd rather go to Dame's Front Yard than I think any of these places. Dame's Front Yard in Oakland was our second overall
pick. It was the most
pick.
Socially responsible choice.
Some people picked Faction Brewing in Alameda on the text line, and I love that place
Faction
as well.
Faction is good. The winery right by there.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called, but there's the
Rockwall.
Right, yeah. And then it's Hangar 1 used to be.
Hangar 1,
still,
no,
still
no
there?
They call it Liquor Row.
Right.
It's St. George there now.
It's St. Yeah. George now. There it is.
And there are about three or four wineries up north that I like drinking outside rather than in.
Yeah. Can I give you a little tip?
Mm.
You can't find a better day than Sam's Patio up in Tiburon.
Okay.
Go out to the deck, Sam's. You can even take the ferry over there. It's pretty
Tiburon
nice.
Is the best views of the bay.
It really is gorgeous. You can't go wrong there. Love it. And I was going to give a shout out to Zeitgeist too.
Yeah.
It's like a bike messenger bar. How often do you get to say that except for in the movie Quicksilver?
It's a biker bar.
It's a bicycle bar.
But it's bikers too. It's like bicyclists with a motorbiker aesthetic is how I would describe it.
So my buddy and I always used to say that we want to walk in there looking like tough guys one day, but riding big wheels.
Oh,
and you go in the back and you hang your big wheels up with all the other bikes and just get a whole bunch of dirty looks from all the cyclists and bicyclists and messengers and bike guys.
You'll be lucky if all you get is dirty looks.
With like a U.S. Postal Service shirt on like Lance Armstrong?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
No chance of getting beaten up there.
Gentlemen. You're both a couple wordsmiths, right? You like the language. We use 50-cent words when at all possible. We like to gussy up what is normally a boring presentation. Ray, read one of your columns. People probably have to have a dictionary in their other hand just to get through some of it. Merriam-Webster has officially added four sports phrases to its official dictionary this year. Would you like to guess on what one might be?
Well, since we talked about it in the other room.
Again, Ray, it's a show. You don't tell the people.
Well,
we're
we
not
don't
actually
want to lie to them.
We
don't want them to, I mean, I'm not going to guess something wrong deliberately.
This is
along.
Why I am an excellent sports talk radio host is because I literally do not remember any of the things you said
attention.
Except for Heartstopper, which did not make sense to me.
No, that's the worst of the
four. So I'm going to guess, was Buzzer Beater one of them?
No.
No.
Oh, well.
The list is Heartstopper. Garbage time.
Mm.
Tommy John surgery.
Is that necessary?
Yeah, I think so. Tommy John surgery is such a popular it's the most talked about surgery in my life.
You know what? But it's in the last 10 years, it's been shortened to TJ. So really, it's excessive syllables. So I wouldn't count that as a great one either.
It sounds like
the last one is the best one.
Swole.
That's yep. great.
That's the one.
Swole. That's great. That used to be the battle cry of the weight room meathead, and now you have officially made it to Merriam-Webster. Congratulations!
Not a place that you've spent much time. If you're that guy,
no, I'm not. I'm not swole. As a matter of fact, I look around me. Swole would not be a good way to describe this program,
with the possible exception of the intern, who's a literal college basketball player.
Yeah, but he's more tall than swole.
That's
true.
No, you're right.
A big difference. I look at him and I see, get that guy a cheeseburger.
You want swole, you go to 6 a.m.
They're thick.
Lorenzo Neal is a big boy.
Thick in that 6 a.m. hour. By the way, we were asking, you know, favorite books earlier. Someone said Joe Fortenbaugh's favorite book, MGM. Well done.
Well played.
Well done.
Not bad. I'll bet, though, he's left more money than he's taken out.
Oh, we all have. They all have. Anyone tells you they haven't is probably lying right to you. 888-957-9570. One more hour is coming up around the corner. We're looking forward to Ian Williams, who is coming in studio to talk NFL with us pretty much the rest of the way. Ian, of course, had a nice career with the San Francisco 49ers. He is now doing their pre- and post-game show over on NBC. He is definitely welcome in the studio whenever he wants to come on by. We're going to be talking plenty of draft coming up with Ian Williams later on, starting in our 6 o'clock hour. Frank Clark. Frank Clark was traded from the Seattle Seahawks today to the Kansas City Chiefs. The Seahawks, they trade a guy that had their franchise tag, and they got a first rounder for him and a second rounder next year, and they're swapping third round picks this year. I'm surprised by that deal only because he's got some history on him that I didn't think the Kansas City Chiefs would want to necessarily be inviting into their locker room. They're certainly doing that. They obviously do not care how anyone's perception around women has been proven in the past, looked like in the past. They're bringing this guy in 5 years, $105 million, basically replacing Dee Ford with Frank Clark, paying a guy that's never played for them the money that they would not extend to Dee Ford. Does this make the Dee Ford trade look worse, better, doesn't affect it at all? This is a Chiefs Frank Clark issue.
It's a Chiefs Frank Clark issue. I mean, you can't worry about the trades that don't involve you. I mean, they went out and got Dee Ford. They knew that Frank Clark was out in the market. So I don't know how this affects the 49ers unless Dee Ford suddenly decides, I want to go back to Kansas City and play with Frank Clark.
It seems clear to me, the one thing we can say, I think, is the Chiefs think Frank Clark is a better player than Dee Ford. Because they
clearly
acquired him and they paid him money they were unwilling to pay Dee Ford. I think if you're looking at it from a Niners perspective and thinking, well, does this mean that they blew it? No, Dee Ford's still the same guy he was a month ago when the trade went down. He still forced a bunch of fumbles. He still sacks the quarterback. And if he does those things like the Niners expect him to, they won't regret that trade.
I guess I asked the question poorly because Ford's deal is worth $87.5 million, 20 guaranteed. Clark's deal is $105 million, 63 guaranteed. And I figured that when the Chiefs made the move to say goodbye to Dee Ford, that they weren't going to spend that kind of money knowing that Mahomes has got a big payday coming, other guys are about to get their hands out. So it seemed like they were going to take that money and allocate it in other ways on the team, where they turned around and gave more money than they were willing to allocate to a player, to another player at the same position.
Interesting text from a 209 that I had not thought of, but does kind of make sense. Before the Dee Ford trade, they might have calculated some space for Tyreek Hill in that big spending, and they may not be doing that anymore.
You might be right about that. That is a very good observation that I wasn't thinking of at all. Yeah, they might not be doing a huge amount of business with the guy who could have commanded a massive cap number.
Yeah.
Massive cap number. So interesting to say the least. Also interesting, always interesting, forever interesting, a Game 7. What got the Sharks here? Well, it was this in double overtime.
And up the middle, a pass for Hurdle. Tomas Hurdle shorthanded, shoots, and scores! Tomas Hurdle hits the jackpot! Game 7 on Tuesday in San Jose!
Randy Hahn, NBC Sports California, phenomenal call. Game 7 set up tonight at the Tank. Can the Sharks find the recipe that they found to win Game 6 at home?
Well, they can, but it's going to require that Martin Jones be every bit as good as he was in Games 5 and 6.
And that was a career franchise record save total for the Sharks.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was a double overtime. But more than that, he cannot give up the bad early goal. I think that's the most deflating thing about games 2, 3, and 4 is that the Sharks never had a chance to play with a lead in any of those games. And when they're not ahead, they tend to get disorganized. And it really showed itself most egregiously in 4. And the fact that they rallied to get both 5 and 6 is an indication that not they could turn it on and off, but they're like the Warriors in that they need to be hit in the face with a shovel to get the point. Because there was no reason for them to give up shape and, you know, just sort of abandon all discipline just because they were down 2-0.
One thing I've been curious about hearing you talk about this series in particular, Ray, is it seems like this is a push and pull of how will the game be played, stylistically speaking, and the Sharks kind of want to play it one way and the Knights prefer to play it another way.
The Knights prefer a faster-paced game because they have faster guys.
How much of that, though, comes down to who draws first blood and how much is more of an actual ongoing style struggle?
Well, typically, teams that score first in playoff games win about 65% of the time. Okay. So it's a significant advantage. But beyond that, it's not about first blood as much as it is about establishing who's going to play at what pace. If the game is frenetic and up and down, that's all to Vegas' benefit. If the Sharks can sort of grind it out, keep things in the Vegas end, and not let them break out, then it's played at the Sharks' pace. So it's going to be an ongoing struggle.
If you had a maximum bankroll of $10, how much would you be betting on the Sharks to win Game 7 tonight?
5.
So you think they got a 50-50 shot tonight?
I think everybody in the world thinks it's a 50-50 game. Because their contrasting styles are equally effective when they apply them.
Should be a good one tonight down at the Tank. Game 7, Sharks fans, good luck to all of you.
That's fine.
If they win, they'll be facing Colorado in the next round. Coming up next, 888-957-9570. You got any draft questions? We're bringing in a guy who knows football like the back of his hand. After all, he played in the NFL, which is more than I can say for the three of us sitting in this studio. That's why we're going to bring Ian Williams in studio next, courtesy of Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.